Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, the arrival of the German discounters, as they were once called, into Ireland changed the way we shop forever. Here to pick over some of those changes in the way we shop is Conor Pope. He's the consumer editor at the Irish Times. Good morning to you, Conor. How are you?
Good morning to you, Bobby. How are you?
I'm real good. I read your article on the German discounters, as we used to call them, with great interest, because they really have changed things here in 25 years.
They have, yeah. And I think it probably irritates Lidl or Lidl or whatever you want to call them yourself when we group them with Aldi. But in many respects, we have to talk about them as a pair, because they came to Ireland very close together. Aldi was actually first into the country, and then around 11 months later, or just under a year later, Lidl came to town. And by the way, I'm going to fluctuate between Lidl and Lidl. Just for your listeners' information, for donkey's years, I always called it Lidl, and I thought that was the name.
I'm a Lidl man. I just have to confess, I'm a Lidl man.
But Google tells me it's pronounced Lidl, and it's a German surname. But sure, that's by the by. But anyway, the two of them came to Ireland within a fairly close time frame. And when they came to Ireland, they were both treated with considerable suspicion by Irish shoppers and by Irish businesses and even by Irish shopping centre owners, because nobody really knew what to make of the concept, because it was completely alien to us. First, all of the brands were unfamiliar to us. The shops were really small, so they only sold maybe 2,000 products as opposed to 10 or 12 or 15,000 products that you might find in a traditional supermarket, and fundamentally there was no branded products on offer, so nobody really knew what to make of it. And for the first 5 or 6 years of Lidl's existence in the Republic of Ireland, they were treated with great suspicion. But then obviously something changed, and that change was the economic collapse.
Yeah, 2007, 2008 maybe to 2010, they really found their market.
They did, but to say that was the only reason why they started to do well would do them a great disservice, because the reality is they had spent the years after their arrival in Ireland assiduously building up relationships with Irish producers, with Irish food makers, with Irish suppliers, and they developed a really good reputation. And I remember, I just for the purposes of the article, I went back and I looked at a piece that was written in the Irish Times on the day of they arrived, which I think was July the 20th. So we're very close to the anniversary, the 25th anniversary of that. And Tom Parlin, who was the then president of the IFA, was absolutely eviscerating them, tearing strips off them, saying, oh, they only have 8% Irish products and they're not going to buy from Irish farmers. And, you know, he was just about stopping short of calling for a boycott.
Yeah.
But they stuck with it. The crash happened. They had already built up a lot of relationships with a lot of suppliers. And then people found out that, you know what, you could actually do a fairly decent big shop at a weekend, get all your groceries, and because you were buying private label, our own brand, the two words are interchangeable, you could get it for a lot less. And this is the really fundamental thing. When I started doing Price Watch in the Irish Times around 20 years ago, around 95% of a typical Irish shopping basket was made up of branded products, and 5% or so was made up of own brand, because we hated own brand. And Bobby, you remember why we hated own brand.
Yellow packs. They were awful.
The yellow pack.
Yeah.
They were terrible. And they gave that whole private label idea a really bad reputation in Ireland for a long time. But we started to realise, do you know what? Some private label own brand products are bad. Let's be honest. Like, it's very hard for any own brand company to replicate a well-known and popular cola drink. They try, but it's very hard to replicate those big giant cola manufacturers. Similarly with a well-known brand of cornflake, it could be very difficult for own brand producers to recreate the branded equivalent. But for an awful lot of products, the own brand option is virtually indistinguishable.
And it's often made by the brand and offer.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's why around 50% of the typical Irish shopping trolley now is made up of own brand. And I'm not just talking about Aldi or Lidl. It's Supervalue, it's Dunnes, it's Tesco. It's all of those retailers have their own brand offering. And that has seen Irish consumers save a lot of money. Because like, you could almost draw a line and say, okay, the difference in price between own brand and branded product is around 30%. So if you think, okay, well, €10,000 is spent by a typical Irish household on their grocery shopping over the course of a year, if you can switch from branded to own brand, you could probably save yourself €3,000. And that's why an awful lot of people have discovered the merits of own brand shopping.
Yeah. If we talk about, I suppose, the content of the stores, certain things that maybe would have surprised us then but don't now. There was no baskets. You could only shop with a trolley. So yeah, you'd look a bit weird if you just had three things in a trolley, that you were some sort of spendthrift that wasn't purchasing stuff. The middle aisle, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, no, this is something that really touched a chord with readers of the Irish Times. And I think a lot of people are kind of big fans of the middle aisle. And like, obviously, the way it works is every week or twice a week, new brands are rolled out in the middle aisle. And it really is that whole retail concept of when it's gone, it's gone. So you see this product that seems to be at a really competitive price, and you know that if you don't buy it now, you're not going to ever get a chance to buy it again. And I mean, I have found myself queuing outside Lidl of a Sunday morning.
How many angle grinders do you own, Connor? How many angle grinders have you?
Like hedge trimmers, blow torches, little mini concrete mixers, jackhammers. Like, and the funny thing is that men traditionally love the middle aisle power tools section. Now, that's not going to come as a great surprise to you, but I hadn't realised that the Lidl power tool brand, I think it's called Parkside or something like that.
It's Parkside, yeah.
It's either the biggest or one of the biggest DIY or power tool brands in Europe, because they sell a huge amount of stuff. Now, I'll be honest, an awful lot of the stuff that I've bought in the middle aisles has been absolutely useless, or I should say has been absolutely useless to me, because I didn't need the heart-shaped waffle maker. And you buy it thinking, oh, that's going to be handy now come Valentine's Day, and then you put it in a press under the kitchen sink, you never see it again.
Is that like the electric weed burner used once for a frustrating half an hour hanging in the shed for the past 3 years?
And absolutely. And you buy all this stuff with the best will in the world, and you think, oh, this is going to revolutionize my life. And it's in some ways, it's a bit like, you know, you're sitting up at night when you're a student, maybe you're 20, 22, you're watching the late night home shopping channels, and you're thinking, oh God, I'm going to buy that special wall painting kit. It's going to be amazing. Like all of that stuff, it's only of use if you're going to use it. Otherwise, it has no value. So that electric weed burner, or you know, a fly swatter that has some kind of electrical charge that incinerates the flies once you hit them, like all of that stuff, it's kind of useless, but we still are suckered into it. But having said that, there is some stuff in the middle aisles that has real value. And the thing is, I remember talking about this recently, and someone asked, was it a loss leader? Did they have these products in the middle aisles because they could, you know, bring people through the doors and then they'd sell them the more profitable cereals or milk or cheese or whatever it might be? And the reality is that like many supermarkets, their profit margins are quite secret, but we do know that they're probably making bigger margins on the middle aisle products than they are on but I have to say, one of the worst experiences of my life came in the little middle aisle. It was during the COVID lockdowns of 2020, when we all had to go on staycations. So I figured, do you know what I'll do now? I'll go off and I'll buy some wetsuits that are for sale in Lidl. And I'll do that now. So it means we'll be able to swim in the sea. And of course, I'm not a wetsuit type of person. I didn't really know the intricacies of them. And I remember coming home to my wife, and the only ones they had were large and extra large. So I thought, they'll be grand. We'll fit into the large and extra large wetsuits. There's nothing more useless in the world than an extra large wetsuit, because of course it lets in all the water. There is no function whatsoever, and I must have spent about £190 on them, and they are still looking at me tauntingly in my house going, you're an awful idiot.
Connor, what about the numbers, the number of stores and the way that they've integrated into Irish society? Like things like, we talked about the suppliers now, the Irish suppliers that are very prevalent there, but also sponsorships, Lidl support, the ladies GAA. Again, there's an Irishness about them now that they're almost one of our own, are they not?
And of course, that's very, very carefully designed on their part. I mean, and they do sponsor the ladies GAA, I think, and that's a big thing for them. You know, they're also, you know, they do spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of euros with Irish food producers, and they support an awful lot of small-scale artisan producers. One of the things that's interesting about them is not only do they allow these guys to ratchet up their manufacturing and start selling at scale, they also give them an avenue into the British market, into the European market. Because like all retailers, if a product is going to make them money, they're going to stock it everywhere. So it is a useful avenue down which an awful lot of retailers can travel. Now, that's not to say these people are entirely flawless, because the reality is all retailers are in the business to make money.
Yeah.
And the reality is that we don't really have any oversight as to how much money big retailers in Ireland are making, or what their profit margins are on their stock in the Republic of Ireland. We do know that it is fairly competitive, and it's incredibly competitive in that discounter space. I mean, I remember a few years back, I had a story in the paper in the Irish Times about an Aldi commissioned price survey, which suggested that Aldi was the cheapest supermarket in the country. And it was much cheaper than Tesco. It was much cheaper than Super Value. It was much cheaper than Dunnes. And I think over a basket of 60 or so goods, it was about 40 or 50 cent cheaper than Lidl. And Lidl went mad. They took an action. They took an action to the High Court to question the survey. And they did that because they did not want their most bitter rival to have bragging rights being the cheapest supermarket in the country.
Very finally, let's dispel the myth. It wasn't formed by two brothers that fell out, as is the common story.
No, not at all. And I don't know where that story originated, but if you Google it, an awful lot of people, one of the first things that comes up as a Google prompt is, are Aldi and Lidl owned by two brothers? No, they're not. They're entirely separate. And they're incredible rivals, not only in this part of the world, but all over the world. And that's one of the reasons why we as consumers benefit, because when retailers are competing hard on price and when they're competing hard for market share, they do tend to make their prices more competitive. And that way, consumers win.
All right. Well, as always, Conor, great to get your analysis. It's a super piece. Thanks for talking to us about it today. That's Conor Pope there, consumer correspondent with the Irish Times. Thanks again, Conor.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.